If you are running a food business, whether it's a restaurant, a catering service, a food truck, this podcast is for you. I've been there, I know the hustle, and I wanted to create this podcast in order to help small family-owned businesses like yours. So if you are trying to get ahead, you are trying to grow your business, you think you're doing everything right, but you still can get ahead, listen up because I want to share with you a lot of information through this podcast. This is our first episode, and I'm so excited to share this with you. For a lot of people that don't know me, you might be saying, well, who is this guy? Why should I listen to him? My name is Julio Garcia, and a lot of people know me online as Julio the Foodio. Just a quick background about myself. Right now, we are creating this Julio the Foodio channel where my family and I go to these small family-owned businesses. We record our experience. We try to tell a little bit about their story, you know, and one of the things that we always do for every business that we visit is that we pray over the business. Now, why am I doing this? I used to be a restaurant owner myself. And honestly, I just tried to be the support that I wish I had when I had my restaurant. And with this podcast and also the help with the book that I wrote last year, I wanted to bring it out and just bring more value to these small family-owned businesses like yours. So I actually wrote a book, and this book was based on my personal experience running the business that we had a couple of years ago. I had a business that we started in 2021, and it started as a small snack shop, a 340 square foot location where we were selling authentic Mexican snacks like corn in a cup, fruit cups, smoothies, you know, drinks like that, something. It's a lot more known as a fruteria. That business went and did pretty good. I was the one that was managing all the finances. I basically structured the whole business. I did all the marketing and everything. And my family, my parents, they took care of all the, you know, the creating the food and all that. I did pitch in some of the ideas, but it was, you know, all the family business. And that business alone, within our first year, because we started actually on January 6th of 2021. And I remember that day because it's a business that it was my baby. So I started that business and we basically started with nothing in our pockets. We had the last $30,000 that we had to invest in. Thankfully, at that time, things weren't as expensive as they are today. So we were able to kind of start something, and then we got a little loan to even buy the food and the things that we were wanting to sell. Fast forward to our first year, we were able to close with $352,000. And I still remember that exact amount because it was my first 1099-K from Clover. They send that in the mail, and I opened it and I was like, damn, like we did $352,000, and it was a blessing. Within 11 months of opening that business, we expanded into an a lot bigger location. And it wasn't because we wanted to, we were kind of forced to move out of that place because in the location that we were, it was a small building. And especially in that area, it didn't really get a lot of traffic. But when I started doing all the marketing and everything, we started getting a lot of traffic, and the landlord started getting a little bit nervous because there was so much traffic going on. She was afraid that somebody was gonna hit her building, and she knew that we were outgrowing the space. So she kind of pushed us into getting a bigger location, and sure enough, I was able to find a bigger, it was a 2,700 square foot place that we took over. And of course, we couldn't survive just by selling snacks, sweets, and drinks. So I decided to convert it into a full service restaurant. That was an experience. We were able to move in. We expanded into a restaurant, and on our second year, which it was our first year in that bigger location, we were able to close a little bit over $800,000 on our first year in that location. And then by the third year, I think we were on track to do a little bit over $1 million. And I'm blessed, you know, to be able to do that with my family. Unfortunately, that business is no longer in business, and I'm gonna be honest with you, sales weren't an issue. We had a really devastating family situation that unfortunately forced us to close down the business, sell everything, and you know, everybody just part their own way. But I decided to take that experience and do it, and to be able to help other businesses do the same. Because I've seen the struggles, I've seen how everything is going on, and it even encouraged me to write a book. And I wrote this book. It's not actually a book, it's more of a guide. And I had it available in Amazon. But I'm a huge believer on blessing others, without expecting anything in exchange. And one of the things that I decided to do is just took it off the market, and now we're gonna be giving it away for free. I understand sometimes as a business owner, you probably don't have a lot of time in your hands, so you might not be able to sit down and read a book. Some people make their time to do that, but some people don't. So I say, well, what better? I mean, I love listening to podcasts. I love being able to, to learn on the go. And I've always done that. So I say, why not turn this into a podcast where people can actually follow along? So in this book, you're gonna be learning a little bit about my story, and you're gonna be able to see some of the strategies that I've done. The book, and this actually part of the series that we're gonna be doing in the next few weeks. It's called From Profit to Prosperity, okay? And it's a restaurant owner's financial guide. And I promise you, even though a lot of people hate to talk about finances, I'm gonna try to make it as fun as we can. So that you can learn, okay? And then on this first episode, I kind of want you to get to know me, because you might be saying, well, why should I listen to this guy? I told you a little bit about the results, but probably that's not enough. People might think, well, you got lucky. And I laugh because I honestly feel like that word is used a lot incorrectly, because especially you as business owner, you could probably understand that it's not that easy. People might see you as the title of being a business owner, and they think that you have a lot of money, especially when you are out there looking for a service or something. I mean, people just throw out numbers and they give you a price, and it's like, ooh, like, oh yeah, it's $1,000. They think that it's not much for you, but when it comes on paying your rent, paying the dues and everything that you have to do, it's hard. So I wanted to do this. I wanted to basically go through the book with you. The strategies in the book is from my personal journey. And of course, the numbers aren't going to be the same for your business, for your restaurant, but it's an idea so that you can expand into doing something better for your business. My journey basically tells you a little bit about myself from like really from the beginning, how I started working in the food industry. I remember correctly at 6 years old, I started by helping my mom. She had a small little business of quesadillas in Mexico. And just for the record, in Mexico, it's pretty normal for people to just start a business right outside their house. It's kind of like, I don't know about the norms now, but before there wasn't any problems with inspections and all that. It was kind of like, in this case, my mom, Doña Jackie, she wanted to just start selling quesadillas out of the house, and we did. And my job every day after school was to get home and help her with the dishes. Everybody that was finished eating, let's just put the dishes in a bucket. And at 6 years old, it was my job to just get the bucket, clean some dishes, and put the clean dishes out. It started as a journey, kind of like that, to the point where by 8 years old, we already had a business. Now, even though we had the quesadilla shop, my parents have always been very passionate about like the dessert industry. They are really good at doing like flans, jellos, and things like that. So we opened up a little shop. Like they were able to save some money, and we opened up a little shop in Mexico. It was called La Pasadita. And La Pasadita became one of the best experiences that I could ever get, because it expanded tremendously. We started in a little place. In that place, they were able to cook all the desserts, the things that they were doing. To make a little extra money, they opened up like a smoothie shop, like a juice shop type of place. At that age, I mean, I was about 8 years old when that started going on, and they expanded something really huge to the point where we were selling from that location, and we also had like seven other locations, but it was at other people's houses. Kind of like when we started selling outside their house, we hired them so that we can take some jellos and they can stand outside of their house just selling our products. And my job at 8 years old, it was to go around and deliver. It's pretty normal for kids to be working in Mexico, especially at that age. So you could see me, my little scooter, going around delivering these big things of jellos and helping them set up their table. And eventually I would go to mine. So I had my own little location. And it was just one of those things that we just kept going, kept at it. Unfortunately, I don't know why, but my parents had this thing that when something would go down, they would blame it on witchcraft and things like that. And it was kind of devastating. I remember one day, I was coming from school and I went to the house and they were there just laying down. They looked pretty sad and I was like, what's going on? They were like, nah, I don't know. I feel like somebody did witchcraft to our business. Da, da, da. And I was like, I honestly didn't believe it. I didn't understand what was going on. I remember I just grabbed the box of money for change. And then I went my way and I opened up the business. They got worried. They were wondering where I was, and sure enough, they found me at the business because it was a routine that I had already built up and I liked it. I always been very worried about trying to help them do something. Years later, my parents came to the United States, and actually I arrived here. They brought me here at age 12, and just for the record, I am a DACA dreamer. A DACA means deferred action for sh or shall arrival, and it's a program that allows us that we were brought to the United States at an early age to be here legally. So we have a social security, we have a work permit, you know, things like that. They brought me here at age 12, and I felt incarcerated. Like, honestly, it wasn't within like a year later when I told my mom, I was like, "Hey, mom, why don't you start making flans and jellos and help you sell them, and I can, you know, maybe expand something." And sure enough, you know, I convinced her. She made her first batch. I took a little cooler that actually I remember that cooler. I found it in the trash. And when we first got right here, I was like a treasure hunt because you could find a lot of interesting things in the trash can. And I found that cooler. I washed it, I cleaned it up and everything. And I felt like, you know, like, yes, we're back in business. We're going to do something. Took my first buck in and I sold it within an hour or so. I did that. I went and I started selling flans and gelatinas. And in that area, in that time, I was starting to get known as El Güero de las Gelatinas. I was selling that, and it was a big thing. I mean, I was going to apartments, and I would start it in our own apartment complex, and then I started expanding into the neighbors' apartment complexes, and I would just go and knock to sell my flans and gelatins. At that time, I started like growing up. I turned 14. I started learning how to drive. Yes, I know it was illegal, but I was excited. I wanted to be behind the wheel, and I was driving and everything. And sometimes my mom would tell me that, "Hey, go to the store and get me this, and that." So one day I went to this store. It was a Mexican store called La Providencia. Shout out to La Providencia. They no longer exist, but I always remember them because they opened up the doors to something incredible. I was at the register and I was paying something. Owner comes up to her and tells her something, and I noticed that she got kind of nervous. And I was like, "Is that the boss? Is that el jefe?" And she looked at me like smiling, like, "Yeah, but he's the owner." And I was like, "Oh, okay." But when she said he's the owner, my light bulb, you know, like an idea popped up because I remember right next to the register, there was like an empty fridge. And I always wondered if it was working. And weird enough, they always had it on, but it was always empty. I grabbed my stuff and I went straight to him and I said, "Hi, my name is Julio. And I noticed that empty fridge right there, and I see that he's working. Do you guys put anything in there?" And he's like, "Well, no. We've been thinking about putting some salsas and whatnot, but we haven't got to it." I'm like, "Well, I've been here quite a few times, and I always notice that it's empty. Would you allow me to fill it up with some flans and jellos and to sell them? You don't have to pay me nothing. I'll just come fill it up, and I can just stop by, and you pay me whatever you sold." And he was like, he just looked at me like, "Really?" I'm like, "Yeah." Without even thinking about it, he's like, "Well, but I don't know what you're selling." I was like, "All right, don't worry about it." I brought him some samples. He tried them. He loved them. He was like, "Yeah, fill it up." And I thought that I was gonna be back like once a week or something, right? Nope. I think within 2 days, he called me back. He's like, "Hey, everything is gone. Come get your money and come like bring more." I'm like, "Okay, cool." And after that, started a business from home where we were basically just delivering flans and gelatinas to that place. And the word started going out, like he had some more friends that own other stores, and we were able to deliver to those four Providencias at first. And then within a couple of, I think it was like within a year, they started connecting us to other supermarkets that were called La Michoacana. Shout out to La Michoacana because they're still in business. And it got to the point where we were delivering to like seven or eight Michoacanas and the four Providencias that were in Dallas, and everything was, you know, just from home. And he was, I was, man, I felt like we were back in business. Like it was kind of like that excitement of going, you know, back in business and being able to help your family come up with some money. I can't tell you really about the finances. At that time, I didn't really care. I was just enjoying. I was really into going out and driving around and delivering these gelatinas. My mom did basically all the work, you know, doing the cooking and all that for the desserts, but it was an enjoyment. Fortunately, that only lasted like maybe like 2, 3 years. Somebody called the city on us and we were shut down because we were doing everything from the house. It was actually an experience that helped me understand that there was nothing better than just being your own boss. And I saw that with my family, the way that we were able to get things done really fast. People were amazed that, within our first year that arrived, that we arrived, we were able to buy our car, got a computer. We were progressing. It's an exciting experience. And of course, I'm not gonna go through my whole story. I don't want to bore you with all that, but it was, some of those things that really caught my attention. I mean, we were able to even have our own construction company with my dad. That one went pretty well as well. So if you want to learn a little bit more about that side of me, I already told you about Doña Jackie. The thing that story of Doña Jackie is there too. But I basically go from when I was 6 years old all the way now to then, now that I'm 33 years old and what I'm doing. But the purpose of this book is not just to tell you about my story, but it's kind of more to tell you about the tragedies, that we have. That these tragedies that little by little with the years, I was able to see the importance of staying in budget, staying in line with your finances when it comes to your business, because you can actually do a lot of things. And this is actually teaching that I learned from the church that I attend. Everything that I do, I put it on God's hands, okay? And this is not something that I want to create to kind of convince people into believing onto the things that I believe. But here and there, you will hear me talk a lot about God, and I can't help it. Jesus is King. I'm just his little servant. And I won't be able to hold myself into talking about God through the course of this podcast, but I wanted to be able to let you know I'm faith-based. I love sharing the word of God. So everything that I do is because of him. One of the things that I learned from church is that generosity, it's not something that is spontaneous. And I don't think people might think that you are generous just because like somebody's in need and you pull up 100, you support and help them like right away. But a true generous person plans ahead. And a lot of these wealthy people, they already have a budget set aside to help, to be able to do something. And when I learned that, I started implementing that strategy into the business. And I don't mean to say like, oh, you're gonna give your money away. No. But it is important to plan ahead onto every day of our business as we are going. So this right here is going to help you have a better grasp of your business. And it's going to allow you to be able to keep growing and measure everything that you are doing. Like chapter one, it's an overview of the strategy, okay? And it says running a successful business, especially in the food industry, requires more than just a great product or a good service. It requires smart financial management. The strategy I'll be sharing with you is designed to keep your business financially healthy by allocating your revenue into five key categories. Now, we're gonna go to, in the next few weeks, we're gonna go in through each and every single one of these categories to kind of help you get a grasp. And like I said, you can follow along, you can download the guide on our website. I actually invite you into joining our community, whether like I say, if you're a restaurant owner, a catering business, a food truck, somebody that is cooking something from your home, I know like baked goods and things like that. You are more than welcome to join. And this is actually more than just a community. It's a directory. It's something that I'm building, a tool that it also has like a business center where you will be able to have access to these downloads, tools, some financial tools that I'm gonna be talking in the as we go in this book. So I would definitely suggest you take the time to go into our community and add your business. You can either create your own foodie profile because this is a community for both for foodies and for business owners. But if you're a business owner, definitely add your business. It doesn't matter where you're from, as long as you're in the United States, go ahead and add your business, and you're going to see how powerful this tool is. And it's completely free. I'm not even charging anything. It's an investment that I've been doing to trying to keep bring some value to our community. It's actually a tool that will allow you to even get more positive reviewers where it matters. You can use our platform kind of like a filter, and it allows you to kind of get ahead of the game and be able to have that feedback where it matters, where it's very well accepted. And when somebody has a complaint or something, they can reach out to you directly. So check it out. Anyways, there wasn't a commercial about the platform. I would just wanted to share that with you because it's important that you know that we have that. And you're going to be able, like, once you register, when you go to the business center, you're going to be able to download this guide. It's like I said, it's a book. It's completely free. You're just gonna download it. You're gonna access it through our Google Drive and you're going to be able to download it. Okay, on this first chapter, like I said, it talks to you about five important key categories. And I'm going to go one by one right now, but in the podcast, in the next chapters, I'm going to be able to go more deep into each one of them. Okay, for example, we're going to be talking about profit because nobody talks about profit. And I've always heard, especially in the financial service industry, that you have to pay yourself first. And I know it's hard, but when I mean pay yourself first, it doesn't just mean your salary as an employee, because at the end of the day, when we are working in our business, inside our business, we are an employee of our own business, right? I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about like the actual profit. And you might be saying, Julio, I can barely pay rent. How am I gonna think about profit? Well, don't worry. You know, we're gonna be talking about this, but it's important for you to have that number in your head. So we're gonna talk about profit. We're gonna talk about rent and utilities. And I'm not gonna dive in directly on the percentage, but for example, profit, I set a number of 15%. And I'm talking about like net profit, okay? Like when you set aside something, you force yourself onto making sure that the business is keeping some money for the business, for the well-being of the business. If you want to know how your business is healthy, look at the rent and utilities percentage, which is 10%. When you look at your total sales at the end of the month and you're able to pay rent, look, just listen correctly, okay? Rent, electricity, water and gas. Those four very essential things that you need for your business. If you are able to pay those four with the 10% of the total amount of sales that you made, you're in the right track. And as a matter of fact, I would like you to, add that up, check out like the last month, how much you sold last month. And if that adds up to the 10%, you're good. If not, then we got some work to do. Okay, but that's just, an example that I can give you why it's important to look at this financial guide. Labor, I would suggest you not go over 30%, and you should be included into this labor percentage. Okay, that's what I was telling you. It's different from the profit, the labor, because if you are working in the business, you gotta pay yourself. And yes, I know sometimes it's better for everybody to be paid and you being paid at last and everything. But if you don't include yourself in the labor, and try to measure it in a weekly basis, especially if you pay everybody weekly. If you pay everybody biweekly, measure it biweekly, but you have to be able to stand within that 30%. And a lot of times what happens with small business owners is that you just start hiring and hiring and hiring because you think you need the help, but in reality, you just need to be more organized and be able to delegate better. But we're gonna go in more detail about that. Cost of goods, that was a huge one, especially my family business. It's 40%. Now, for a lot of businesses, it's gonna be a little bit different, but 40% to me is just like the standard number across the board for a lot of businesses, especially in the food and service industry, because that's the reinvestment that you're doing for the cost of goods. And I'm talking about not just food, but also make sure that it's included all the material, like if you buy plates, cups, all of those things that you use to pack stuff. And of course, there is a budget for marketing. How much are you spending in marketing? And I really just set aside 5%. Okay. Now you won't. The goal on all of this is not to spend everything. I will be going into detail, but marketing is one of the huge, and I left that at the end. I know it's one of the most exciting things because you want to grow your business, but once you have everything else set and then you have a plan, you're gonna crush it on the marketing side. So there's actually another book that I'm going to be doing. And then we're also going to be talking about a bonus chapter that I have in this book that is called Maximizing Extra Income with Your Tax Sales Set Asides. And it's just a really, not this is going to make you millions or anything like that, but it's just something that I decided to add because it helps you leverage the money that you have. We have to pay sales tax, and if you're not paying them, be careful because they're gonna get you. Anyways, when you are paying sales tax, some businesses are required to report them every 3 months. Some businesses are required to report them every month. But there's actually something that you can do to leverage that money that is not our money, but can make us some money while we are at it. Because at the end of the day, the government doesn't pay us. You know how we pay fees? Sometimes we pay them ourselves. Sometimes the customer pays for the fees, for transaction fees. And that's usually like a 3%, right? 4%, depending on the on the machine that you're using, but you know how we pay for that, right? How come the government doesn't pay us to be the middleman in making sure they get that money? That's another podcast that we need to talk about. So, these are some of the things that we're gonna be looking at in this. And like I said, you are more than welcome to join our community. Add your business into our directory. It's free. You have a profile. You can add all your social profiles, everything. It's an actually a really full tool that you're gonna be able to use, because as we are growing and you start getting more traffic, people are saving your business. For the foodies, it allows foodies to create a list of their favorite businesses. So you might be on somebody's profile because they went to your business and they added you on their Foodies Forward profile as one of one of their favorite places. You, as the business owner, can also connect with other foodies that are doing content creation like myself. And if you'd really like them and they went and did a business, a video and everything, you yourself can add them as your favorite foodie. So it's like I said, it's a community. And also it allows you to, like, as we're growing, you're gonna be able to post job listings, you're gonna be able to post events, you're gonna be able to, put discounts, anything that you wanna do in that profile that is about your business, you're gonna be able to do that in our community. And then of course we have the business center where you're gonna be able to access these downloads, these tools that you can use yourself. Okay. So again, this is just the first episode. I want to try to make sure that all of these episodes, we keep them short, sweet. I don't want to take much of your time. I know you're busy, and I will try to make this podcast under 20 minutes. I think that's like a reasonable amount of time that we can spend on talking about something that you can learn. And we're gonna see. I'm still not sure if we're gonna do this weekly, if we're gonna do this monthly. I'm trying to get a accommodate this into my schedule. This is our first episode. I'm excited, and I want to see if I'm able to pour something into the small family-owned restaurants, food trucks, businesses world, and just being able to support each other. I'm just trying to be the support and the help that I wish I had when I had my business. I'm planning on bringing more people over, more experts that can tell us about taxes, about accounting, about different things that, can help us grow our business. And of course, I will be talking about marketing a lot. Okay. There's gonna be a lot of strategies. I'm gonna go all in. I have a digital marketing agency, but I'm gonna be sharing with you a lot of the things that I did in Doña Jackie that can help you do it yourself. So if you're one of those people, like, I can do it all, and you're willing to learn, you're gonna be able to learn a lot from this podcast. But hey, if you like this, if you like our first podcast, if you're excited about this, help us spread the word. This is our very first episode. So if you know anybody who owns a restaurant, a food truck, a catering service, somebody that is baking something from home, tell them about this podcast. Share it with the world. If you tag me on any of our platforms on Instagram, TikTok, whatever, I'll give you a shout out. I want to make sure that we are all connected, and I want to be able to help you grow and build something sustainable, because small family-owned businesses are the backbones of our community. And I see the numbers. I remember perfectly every month that I report the sales tax, every single month, I can see how much money goes into our community, our city, our county. And that right there is putting you in the map that you are doing something for your community. A lot of people don't see that. But without small businesses, they wouldn't be able to get that kind of money. I remember, I think with every report that I was doing to the city alone, they were making like between $1,000 and $2,000.